everybody. I'm Rick Sanchez, and this, as you've come to expect, is the Week in Review.
We just shut down all the roads, Mr. President. You're going to lose all the votes if you don't get in.
For the last 3.5 years, House Republicans and the American people have been demanding details about Joe Biden's mental and physical decline.
Okie dokie. Just two of the hits that we're going to play for you. Mr. Biden continues to stumble and mumble. Republicans just can't seem to leave well enough alone. And now, yes, the whole world is watching. I'm Rick Sanchez, and this is Direct Impact. What do you say we do it? Okay, let's get started by introducing you to our panel who've been dealing with these topics themselves. They're going to share their unbridled perspective with us here. They are the hosts of the Critical Hour on Radio Sputnik. Great show. Look for it. Dr. Wilmer Leon and Garland Nixon, both good enough to join us. So, all right, gentlemen, it's gotten so bad. It's gotten so bad because it seems that right now for the president, there is simply just no place to hide. Now that the cat's out of the bag, the cameras are constantly on him. He's now stumbled his way through a debate, a very public July 4th Independence Day event, and the latest, the NATO summit of all things. Yeah, gotta show them to you. Here's the lowlights.
One last thing. You know, I used to think when I was a senator, there were always congestion on the highways. There's no congestion anymore. None. We go on the highway, there's no congestion. And so the way they get me to stop talking, they'll say, we just shut down all the roads, Mr. President. You're going to lose all the votes if you don't get in. The allies in this room not only share a common language, don't share a common language. We do not share a common border, but we are neighbors. We're neighbors.
What? We just don't. My goodness, my God, bless him, please, Lord. I don't know what to say. I don't know where this is going to end up. But with every day we turn on the TV and we see more and more of these, and they're I don't know if you guys are like me, but I'm just saying, God, please make this stop. I don't know what to say anymore. Garland, I'll let you start.
Well, I think the one of the things that we've been talking about a lot is the reality that America and the world is learning that the president doesn't run, the current president doesn't run the United States, and that probably implies that most of the time the president doesn't really run the United States, that to some extent they can be a ceremonial figure. And the other part of the discussion is that if Joe Biden is not competent to be president for the next 4 years, which clearly he isn't, then he isn't competent to be president for the next 4 months.
He's not competent enough to finish a sentence. I mean, Wilmer, did you think it was this bad? I mean, I know you talked about it. I talked about it. We were way ahead of this story before everybody else. But just, I don't know, maybe it's the media piling on. Maybe I'm a victim of our own thing. But it just seems like lately, man, this thing is bad. I mean, really bad.
Well, and hence the term cognitive decline.
Yeah.
Did we think it was this bad? No, because 4 months ago, it wasn't this bad. But if you understand the deterioration process, then you know things don't get better. They only get worse.
But I want to give you fodder, if you will, for what you're saying right now. Here's a New York Times report. You probably read this. You're a very well-read guy. You both are. You're in this business. New York Times just broke a story a couple days ago. According to the logs, you know, at the White House, every time somebody goes in, they got to put them in a log and say who they are and what's your business and all that crap. Well, they have a log at the White House of all the people that come in and out of the White House. A neurologist who is an expert on Parkinson's has visited the White House once a month, every month, for the past 8 months. Fact.
Right.
But watch what happens when Karine Jean-Pierre is asked about this simple fact.
So every year, around the president's physical examination, he sees a neurologist. That's three times, right? So I am telling you that he has seen or neurologist three times while he has been in this presidency. That's what I'm saying. I am telling you that he has seen them three times. For security reasons, we cannot share names. We cannot share names.
Others he would have met with.
We cannot share names of specialists broadly, from a dermatologist to a neurologist. We cannot share names. There are security reasons. We have to protect.
Hold on a second.
There's no reason to get back and go back and forth and be in this aggressive way.
We miffed around here about how information's been shared with the press corps
about
here.
And then every time I come back and I answer the question that you guys asked.
Correctly,
and
didn't have to come back and clean it up.
I never answered the question incorrectly.
If that's answering the question correctly, then I'm the queen of Norway. I'll let you finish, Mr. King.
Well, your highness. So there are a couple of problems here. One, this is what happens when you're not transparent. This is, what do they say, when you tell a lie or when you try to mislead?
Mm-hmm.
Now you're stuck with the bit. And she's sticking with the bit. Because initially they were telling us that the neurologist wasn't there.
Right.
I guess he was an invisible neurologist. Now that we know that the neurologist is there, why? Because they are obviously concerned with what we have been saying. The stiffness that you see is the onset of Parkinson's. The other problem here, to Garland's point, is never underestimate the blindness that attends arrogance.
Mm.
And Joe Biden is in this position as it relates to, do I stay or do I go? Primarily because his arrogance, his ego, will not allow him nor members of his family to deal with the reality. It's time to go.
Yeah.
And this isn't an age issue. This is a cognitive decline issue. People 30 years old have Parkinson's.
Yeah. And it's fine. It doesn't make him a bad human being. Some of the horrible crap he's done as the commander in chief makes him a horrible human being. But the fact that no one there can just admit to his problems, it's like, once again, a Fellini movie in reverse. Meanwhile, the whole country, I mean, everybody knows now that there's something horribly wrong with the president's mental and physical fitness. And it's killing his polls. It's killing his chances of winning. And by the way, it's killing his party. Okay? Senate, goodbye. I mean, Democrats in the Senate, bye-bye. Democrats in the House, bye-bye. See you later. Anyway, given that scenario, you would think that Republicans would just shut up about this, right? Leave well enough alone. They don't need to even engage in this conversation. Stay the hell out. But you know what? They can't help themselves. They're starving for attention over there. So they, Republicans, call a group conference yesterday, a news conference, 2 days ago, pardon me, to say, I told you so, even though they did not really tell us so. Here it is.
Good morning. There is no longer any doubt that Joe Biden is unfit to be our commander-in-chief. The Biden White House, far-left House Democrats, and the mainstream media are in complete disarray because they know this to be true and have been caught participating in one of the greatest media cover-ups in American history. For the last 3.5 years, House Republicans and the American people have been demanding details about Joe Biden's mental and physical decline.
Here's what I've seen House Republicans do for the last 3 years. They've been holding hearings, trying to convince me and the American people that Joe Biden was an evil genius who had cut these backdoor deals with China, had $2 or $3 million deals negotiated with Ukraine and several other countries, and was actually one of the most brilliant business minds, I guess, that's ever existed. Corrupt, yes, they said, but look at all these things he's done. Now they want us to think that that guy that they had all these hearings about explaining that is the guy that they're now telling us is this stumbling, mumbling old man who can't even put a sentence together. You know what? I'm sorry, Garland. I don't think you can have it both ways. And I still think they should stay the hell out of this conversation.
Yeah, I agree. And what we're looking at here is something important, and that is alternative media. Wilmer and I, you were talking about it for literally years, but for the last year, we've been showing videos of Joe Biden doing similar things that he did during the debate. So on the alternative media, we all knew that Joe Biden was in a bad situation for a long time, which tells me this. So did the people around him, and so did the Republicans. They're not stupid. So the people around him, I would argue, and I theorize, that's why they rigged the primaries, why they wouldn't even allow anyone else. Oh, literally, yeah. They had Marianne Williamson, Dean Smith running. They wouldn't put their name on the ballots in a bunch of states.
They pushed them
because
out.
They knew they had to, yeah. Right. They knew they had to get rid of Joe Biden at some time, and they didn't want somebody in second place that could stake a claim. Now they can just choose anybody they wanted to, and the Republicans are not offering any significant policies that will help the working class, so they're happy to talk about this rather than say he's terrible, but, and if you put us in power, here's what we'll do to help you.
But they're
not, none of them are going to do that.
But they're not innocent in this thing either. I don't remember them making this a big issue. I remember them making, you know, Biden and his son and his brother and his lawyers were all doing deals with China and doing deals here and doing deals there. When I was listening to their hearings, I was thinking, man, that Biden guy, he's a real smart guy. I couldn't figure out how to make all this money off of China on the back door without anybody finding out. Now it turns out they're saying, oh, no, that's not what we meant. We meant he was a doddering old fool who can't put a sentence together. I mean, you know, if they were really onto this game, they would have been playing this game. I don't remember them playing it. Am I wrong, Leon? Let
me make one quick statement.
Go ahead.
You know who did know? Trump. Several yeah. months ago, they said, hey, Trump, is Biden out to get you? And Trump said, no, Biden doesn't even know he's in the White House. So Trump was the only one that actually was onto it a long time ago.
Not Stefanik, exactly. Wilmer, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Finish us up before we go to break.
No, no. Yeah. Well, they knew it. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and say that they were months ago erring on concern for the country.
Okay.
In terms of not wanting to expose the commander in chief as being non compos mentis. But now that they are in the grips of a campaign and they see blood in the water or chum on the surface, they're going after it like sharks.
Did you say non compos mentis?
I did.
Wow.
Your Highness, I did.
I am the queen. Well, that's why we invite you guys on, because we learn new words, if nothing else. We're gonna take a quick break, and we're gonna be right back. Don't go away.
Меня зовут Илья Казаков. Я участник специальной военной операции. Моя книга имеет название такое же, как мой блог «Повесть о железном человеке», потому что у меня железные ноги. Были бы у меня колени, я бы без палок уже бы бегал.
Он боец. Постоянно вот вырывался в бой. Вот его и результат.
Медицина все, что могла, она уже для меня сделала. Дальше только моя сила воли. И я своей книгой хочу показать, она не только про войну. Она как раз-таки будет именно про реабилитацию, про любовь к жизни.
Это военное. Все четко. Приказ получен, приказ выполнен.
Я пока не готов туда идти. Мне еще понадобится некоторое время. С чего бы начать?
Okay, here we go. Gentlemen, are you ready? Because we are getting ready to start the best part of this particular show. It's where we really tackle some of the most significant issues, including some of the toils of the vice president as well. Welcome back. U.S. President Joe Biden actually seems to think that he's not the president of the United States, but rather the president of the whole entire world. I was so curious about the debates the other day, guys, I decided to turn it back on. My wife can't stand me ever since this debate because I keep going back to this stuff and she wants to watch one of the series we like to watch. So I watched the debate for the third time and I found something in the debate I hadn't caught before. And I want to share this with you. Take a listen to this that everyone seemed to gloss over. It's Joe Biden during the debate with during the interview with Stephanopoulos. Sorry, I got those two mixed up. They ran concurrently. Here he is with the interview with Stephanopoulos. See if you caught this. Go.
Everything I do, you know, not only am I campaigning, but I'm running the world.
I run the world. When I hadn't caught that before. And again, I went back and listened to the interview with Stephanopoulos, and I caught that and thought, you run the world? Go ahead, Wilmer, you start. What do you think of that?
Well, Garland and I did catch that, by the way.
You guys, and I can't get one on you. I can't get one on you.
Well, we work as a team. So it's imperialism. He fully is still reading the headlines about American exceptionalism and America as the indispensable nation and all of those worn out tropes that no longer exist. Mm. So he's reading and still believing America's own press clippings.
It's disrespectful and it's insulting for anyone listening. That happens to be something that probably was being watched all over the world. I mean, Garland, if you're the president of whatever, country A, B, C, D, name your country, and you hear the president of the United States say that, he didn't say the free world, by the way, because I've mentioned this to people. He says, well, he meant the free world. Well, he didn't say the free world. He said the world, right?
Yeah, and there's a personal element to this where Joe Biden is not just saying, you know, America, we hear this, America's the greatest country, that kind of, you know, hubristic imperialist stuff. But he personally says, I run the world. And
right.
This kind of arrogance and hubris is particularly why he won't get out. Why should I get out? I am the emperor of the world. I'm the most powerful person in the world. No one tells me what to do. That was a slip of the tongue. But, you know, oftentimes a slip of the tongue kind of lets people know what we really think. And Joe Biden really is a conceited guy, and he's not very bright, but he thinks he's the most powerful man in the world. He's been hoping for this his entire life, and now he's finally got it. He's not going to let go easily.
I'm glad you said that, because I got that from that interview, too. I'd never seen that part of Joe Biden. His ego is the size of Montana. I came away from the interview that he did with Stephanopoulos, and I went, wow, I'm the greatest. Nobody could do this. If not for me, forget about it. There's nobody else that can replace me. I run the world. I do this. I said, who is this guy? I never knew he was quite like that. I don't know if they wrote that into him and it came out, but you guys are right. I mean, that's essentially what he said. And by the way, even if you are the boss, it's not good to go around telling people you are. You don't stand in front of all your employees and say, I just want everybody here to know that I control your lives. Even if you're the boss, you don't need to do that. It's just, it's not a smart move. Let's let that go. Next, Biden's comments. Also especially disrespectful to world leaders who are forging new alliances, like BRICS, for example, specifically because of those specific hegemonic comments. Speaking of forging friendships, I do want to show you some images. And I hate that I have to even say this again and again and again, but it's kind of important. Images that my fellow Americans will probably not see, because here in this country, you see, we don't show these things in the media. We don't show you anything that ever humanizes countries like Russia or China or even India, for that matter. But here's a piece of video I found, frankly, interesting. It's the president of Russia giving a tour of his residence to the president of India. Here it is. Now, I think this is particularly cool as we watch the pictures because, you know, the image that we have of these two men, Putin in particular, and Xi, and the president of Iran, is that they don't do normal things. They don't talk to people. They don't show their pets to people. They don't drive around, and they don't have wives and children and lives because they're not like our leaders, you see. So I thought this was important to show. And nobody in America will ever see this. Nobody in America even knows what Putin thinks or says, or for that matter, what President Modi says, Garland.
Yeah, because they're pictured through the propaganda as caricatures of politicians, of caricatures of the evil person. I think one of the things that we've seen recently, and what I would consider brilliant diplomatic moves, is with the leaders of Russia and China hugging each other, calling each other dear friends, old friends, doing these types of things. I think it's important because it shows to the people of those countries that there's not just a diplomatic or an economic bond, but there's a cultural bond, and they want to show friendship and mend, you know, mend ties. I think what's really important now is the ability of Russia to mend the ties between China and India. I think if Russia's able to do that, that will be really a world-changing feat.
Yeah, imagine that, huh? I mean, Wilmer, if China's able to mend the ties somehow and come up with some deal between Ukraine and Russia, and then Russia is able to kind of mend the ties and come up with some kind of deal between India and China, wow. While NATO's sitting there glad-handing itself and patting itself on the back, that'd be a hell of a thing.
Well, a couple of things. One, it's a lot of this is about optics, and you talk about what we see and what we don't see.
Yeah.
And we don't see the footage that you just presented because it's a matter of being demonized versus being humanized. Mm. And so what we saw was a human side of these two men and their relationship. To the point about China and India, I would say that that rapprochement is already in the works, which is why Modi went to President Putin's home. Mm. And I think it's also important to see that as we look at NATO and the 75th celebration of that failing entity, remember, there's the SCO, the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. There's BRICS. Mm-hmm. There's the Sahel States Collaboration. We have now shifted from the unipolar to the multipolar, and there's no turning back.
So as we get ready to close this segment, I'm left with this. Basically, the situation at hand, as we would say, right? The president appears to be seeing a Parkinson's expert, while now we hear the vice president, Kamala Harris, appears to be somewhat in la-la land. Here's a spoof that I want you guys to see. This was put together by none other than Comedy Central. Let's watch.
Talking about the significance of the passage of time, right? The significance of the passage of time. So when you think about it, there is great significance to the passage of time.
Seems like maybe it's a small issue, it's a big issue. You need to get to go and need to be able to get where you need to go to do the work and get home. And get home.
It is time for us to do what we have been doing, and that time is every day.
Every day it is time for us to agree that...
She's come so far since our first session.
I lead the vice president on not so much sentences as idea voyages.
You think you just fell out of a coconut tree? You exist in the context of all in which you live and what came before you.
I don't know about you, but when I get hit by a coconut that falls off a tree, and I live in South Florida, I got a lot of coconuts. I'm not thinking about the passage of time. I'm thinking about cutting that damn tree down. That's what I'm thinking about. I don't know, fellas. I mean, she, you know, as we say in the South, she ain't helping herself there, Garland. She ain't helping herself.
It's a whole lot easier to follow Joe Biden's train of thought than it is Kamala Harris. And that's the sad state of affairs. And the bottom line is this. This is where the Democratic Party has landed after rigging the election twice, after it really admittedly rigging the election twice, and then simply picking Kamala Harris because she's a, quote, woman of color, and she checks all the boxes except the box of competency. And now they are stuck with a person who has dementia and a woman who exhibits all the signs of dementia. She just probably doesn't, you know, technically have it, yeah. But maybe she's had it her whole life in one form or another.
Wilmer, I know you kind of have a relationship with her, and I don't mean that it's sexual. Wait, let me take that back. You have known her for many years. You've met her. You've known her. You've had conversations with her. You think she's very likable, as you've said to me in the past. She's just not playing this hand well, though, my friend, and maybe you need to call her and tell her that.
Because she doesn't know the card game that's being played, and she really doesn't know how to play cards.
She needs to bring a coconut.
She.
Sorry. Go on.
There's really not much to say here. This is what happened. This is the politics of pandering. This is when Joe Biden decides that this is going to be his running mate because there's a particular constituency or constituencies that he believes that he has to pander to. Mm. And competence is not the most significant item or element on your list of criteria.
Yeah, you don't go from just being a DA in California to suddenly being a vice president of the United States and understanding geopolitics, because she obviously doesn't, right? I mean, that's the point. Yeah. You got to be ready for a gig.
Go back to the Lester Holt.
Huh?
Go back to the Lester Holt interview.
Yeah.
No, she doesn't. No.
Guys.
I would add this. They particularly picked her because she is malleable, you know, because she's not a person with knowledge, and she's not going to take a position. She's going to do what she's told. And that's why she's there.
Yeah. And it shows. Gentlemen, what a great, great opportunity to have a great conversation. Always enjoyable. You're smart and you're easy to get along with, and you're good friends as well. My thanks to both of you for joining us, and continue your success. That's our show. Remember to always look outside your own box. Truths, they don't live in boxes. By golly, I'm Rick Sanchez. We'll be looking for you next time.